Folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I want to tell you quickly about NTTFitness.com. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're like me, if you're like most Americans, you're fat, you're lazy, you want food, and you want it now. You're hungry, you're going to go through the Burger King drive-thru, and you're going to get one of those dollar tacos because you want to see what all the fuss is about, and you're disappointed, and you should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. NTT Fitness is a food delivery service, but it's not just food. It's good food, and it's good for you. Use my code LEVELUP15. You'll get 15% off your first order. There's macros. There's micros. It's stuff you should put in your body. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15. 15% off your first order. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Drop Park. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Daryl Strawberry.
Yes.
You play right field.
Yes.
I play right field too.
So?
Well, are you better than me?
Well, I never met you, but yes.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the Homemade Broadcast.
The what podcast?
The Homemade Broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade Broadcast.
The Homemade Podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here, that homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is a voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. You can follow me on social. Please do so. Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. Facebook, still have one if you're into that sort of thing. HMB Radio. Tampa Bay, I think it's under. I hope you're well. Got some Stay Woke stickers coming in, as well as those HMB Radio magnets and stickers that I already have, and I want to give you some. Slip into my DMs, email me, leave me a text. Check out HMB Radio, click the contact page, all that info will be there. Here on a Saturday again. This might be my new record day for the podcast. Saturday, get down to the station, there's nobody here. There's promo kids shuffling around, off to events. Man, I remember those days. Well, I still do that from time to time. Thankfully, I don't have to as much. It's a fun job, but I'm glad I don't have to do it anymore. So I like to come in on Saturdays and nobody's really here, and I can kind of just do my thing in peace. So there was a lot of local news this week. There was the St. Petersburg, what do you call those people? The guys who, and the lady got busted who was doing the vandalism to the parking meters. Oh my God, parking meter gate was a big deal, man. Everybody was talking about this thing. St. Petersburg police have arrested two people, it says, have been vandalizing parking meters around the town. And social media may have played a role in finding them. Nick Windholds, 34, and Kirsten Lyons, 32, have been taken into custody and are facing various charges. Both are scheduled to appear in court on Saturday, this past Saturday. Windholds has not claimed responsibility for the vandalism, which some people use spray foam sealant in three separate times to damage the meters. At least 70 meters were damaged. According to police, several Facebook posts related to the vandalism were made by Windholds, and it was. I found this kid. You could just look him up on, Kirsten's kind of cute. And I just pulled up his page here, and he shared the St. Petersburg Police Department's post, the original post when the incident first happened, and he went, "Whoever did this, I love you." And then he went, "I didn't even notice they were broken. Friday, I put $1.61 and didn't even go up. There was obvious foam on the outside of it." And people were laughing at his comments. And he's got little winky faces on there. And then he posts on November 2nd, "Honestly, so happy with myself at the moment, even though it might screw myself." Yep. You know what? Honestly, dude, these posts are what got you. They probably wouldn't have known otherwise if you didn't make these posts. And then he posted one on November 2nd at 7:14. So he must have been bragging about it, too, to his friends. Because the more times people tell me to stop what I'm doing, it pushes me faster to do more of what I'm doing. And I'll never stop doing what I want to do or what's in my heart. And it just feels right. So thank you, but no thank you. You're just going to push me further. And then on November 2nd, a few minutes later, he posted, "The only price you pay is not standing up and taking action." So he basically got caught because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have, you know, cops know how to investigate these things. And if I looked at your page within moments and got, "Oh, yeah, this is the guy definitely right here," definitely the cops did. But in his defense, he's not very bright. He's got a bunch of stuff. It looks like, I guess he's like really in the pot. You know, a lot of people are, that's fine. But I'm looking at his pictures here, and he's got one that says, "Keep calm." You know, the keep calm, carry on thing. That's the onion, not the onion, the chive thing. And he's got one that says, "Keep calm and kill cancer with cannabis oil." Okay. And then he's got one about a cat that died. And then he's got one with Trump's face giving a smoochie. He's like smooching out into the crowd, and then somebody drew a, it's a meme, and someone drew a cat on there, so it looks like the lips are a cat's butt. And then he's got a picture of him with a marijuana symbol on his hat. And then he's got one that says, "My medical marijuana card came today," and it's a picture of the U.S. Constitution, which, you know, I agree with you, but yeah, you can't kill cancer with cannabis oil. That's just not a thing. And this kid, $10,000 in damages for all this stuff, and he's screwed. I mean, I don't know if he has the money to pay restitution for this, but he probably sells pot, so he probably has a bunch of money kind of like stashed away. But a lot of people are calling this kid a hero. I don't know if I would go that far. I understand, like, I'm not bananas about having to, you know, pay to park in my own city that I live in on a, you know, public road that's paid for with public tax dollars. I mean, St. Pete is just growing exponentially. It's totally changed than when I moved here 12 years ago or so. I mean, I moved from Largo, so it's not like I moved from anywhere far. But it's just, it's way different now than it was. And it's a city of, it's just blossoming and blooming. Or it was. Now it's mostly just apartment buildings and, you know, women in yoga pants walking tiny dogs. That's kind of what the city is. But that's what progress is. You know, you kind of, the artists build it up, turn it into a nice place to live, and then they get priced out because that's basic economics. It's not cool, it's not fun, but it just is what it is. So I understand the frustration. There used to be free parking on the weekends, but everybody comes here. You know, you got people from Tampa even coming over here. You got people from all over the county that spend time and go into the shops and spend money, and so they'll just spend the whole day. You know, you find somewhere to park on Central, you start walking, and then you end up, you get some lunch, you go to the shops, and, you know, if we did that, there's nowhere to park. There's no parking garages. There's only the one near, what's it, it's not Baywalk anymore, what's it called? Sundial? So that's like the only parking garage there is. But you know what, you can find, if you get off Central Avenue and Beach Drive, you know, you can park on 2nd Avenue. And then there's usually like 2-hour parking things or signs, but there's not meters there. So you can find places to park. People just don't realize that you just turn off Central and go down one of the streets and there's usually parking. If you go down a little bit, yeah, you're going to have to walk a little bit, but you have to walk a little bit. Sorry, sometimes you have to walk sometimes. I know it's tough. But I understand the frustration. It's not good for people that live here that have to deal with this all the time. And, you know, I ride a bike, I guess, or just don't go downtown. You know what? Move. That's what you should do. Move out of the city. Go somewhere else. Go back to Largo. I'm talking to me there. I can't afford Largo, though, either. I was looking when I had to move out of my apartment. I was looking for places just in Pinellas County. Everywhere is so expensive. It's too expensive to live here. I've had it. I'm actually thinking about just going back to school and getting a job. The only jobs that are worth a damn that are going to pay you is you can be a computer programmer guy or lady, of course, or a nurse. And I'm not going to be a nurse because it takes a special person to do that job. So I think I'm going to have to do like computer program. My friend did it. He went to a boot camp in Chicago. It's like 8 weeks or something. And then he got a job within a month and was making like 80 grand to start. Now he's way well over that. So I'm thinking about just doing that, doing radio as a hobby, podcasting as a hobby. I might have to just be podcasting because radio, I wonder about radio and what the future is of it. I wonder if the generation that's here now, you know, the older guys that are in doing talk radio, if they're the last samurais, because it's not good. The business is changing. Just like everything else, you know, radio's kind of succumbing to automation. There's nobody here. I'm in a radio station, and there's nobody here. It's really depressing. You walk by the studios, there's nobody in the studios. They're just a computer that just plays files, and it goes down the line. You know, you voice track things, and then that just becomes a file in a computer. Now they got those goofy robot voices for, like, Microsoft. Remember, you'd be like, hello, how are you, like that type of thing. But those are getting better. It's going to sound very natural. You just be able to put in text. And I'm sure pretty soon the computers will be able to write scripts and write text. So, I don't know. It's not good. It's looking bleak. I picked the wrong era to be in this business. But there's always podcasting. Podcasting ain't going anywhere. Podcasting is only going to grow. So I hope you'll follow me on this journey at hmbradio.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you have not. Just put in HMB Radio, all one word, Tampa Bay, in your podcast app. Hit subscribe. Tell a friend about it. Share it. Retweet the stuff on Twitter. That really helps. Home_made_man is my handle. You can find me there. This podcast is brought to you by TruV Salon and Spa. TRUV is in victory. Y salonandspa.com. Check Chrissy Parker out. She's cutting hair. She's doing nails. The holiday season is here. The holiday season is here now. As soon as I saw that bowl of Halloween candy that was just sitting at work at the day job and I was just eating it, I go, oh yeah, it's time. It's just going to be putting on weight for the next 3 months. It's going to be eating whatever I want. I'm going to hate it, and I'm going to love it all at once. But at least I can look good. You know, I'm going to be a little chubbier than usual, but at least I can look nice while I go. So get your hair cut, get your nails done, prepare for those holiday parties at TruV Salon and Spa. TruV, TRUV is in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Make your appointment today, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. TruV, salonandspa.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The big news for me this week was Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in his prison cell. Everybody knows that. A few months ago, what was it, 6 weeks ago now? He's one of the biggest sexual predators, pedophiles that the world has ever seen. He catered to the elites of the country and the world. And he got arrested, and then he killed himself. Everybody knows that. And the question that fact makes you a conspiracy theorist. So don't question it. Now, there was a tape that was released earlier this week that showed that ABC News quashed this story 3 years ago, that a reporter had the story 3 years ago and quashed the story because they don't know. It wasn't credible enough to air, is what ABC News. They didn't have enough information. Now, ABC ran with stories like Justice Kavanaugh's assault cases. Julie Swetnick, where she just accused these people of gang raping her without any evidence. They went ahead and ran that story. But this one just wasn't up to snuff. Didn't meet the sniff test for them. So I want to play some audio from Stay Woke right now, where Anna and I touched on this tape that was released. You're going to hear the tape. You can make your own decisions. And then we're going to come back and talk about how the corporate press is the enemy of the people. But until then, let's hear this clip from Stay Woke.
There's a woman on ABC News. Her name is Amy Robach. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there is a video of her talking about an interview that she did with one of Epstein's victims. This was 3 years. The video was taped, I believe, in August. But she is referring in the video to an interview she did 3 years ago. And she is very pissed because she had all this information about 3 years, maybe 2.5 years before all of this broke. And she's expressing her grievances. And she said that she herself saw pictures. I think she may have seen video. But yeah, she talked to one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims firsthand, and she reveals a lot in this tell-all, and she doesn't realize that her, I don't think she knows she's being recorded. Her mic is hot. She's talking to somebody through her mic. I think it's just one of her producers, well, but somebody leaked this video.
No, they said it was that she's, you know, on a hot mic and didn't know it. Now, that implies that I think she did know what she was saying. She seemed like she was lamenting to a room full of people. That there wasn't just a few. I mean, this is a studio, a soundstage where there's camera operators, there's producers, there's a lot, there's key
surveillance.
There's a lot of people that run these productions. So this wasn't her just like talking to one other person. This was her talking to a lot of people, as far as I know, on a soundstage where they're in between takes or whatever. Or, you know, they threw it over
after
to some other report
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so this wasn't just like, oh, she got caught. Like, this was her lamenting and saying that she had this story for years.
Let's hear a little bit of it. It's great.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then,
so I was that when Will and Kate were getting married, or I'm not quite sure when that was. Maybe I can't remember, but I guess they also wanted to do interviews with the royals, and they would not have been able to do that had they revealed this interview, which involved Prince Andrew. I'm not quite sure how they're all related, the royals and all that, but it would have affected their ability to contact Will and Kate, so they quashed the story. She goes on.
And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm sure there was video, there was pictures, there was everything, because that's how Epstein operated, was with blackmail. That's how he dragged everybody in, you know? And we've talked about this before. You know, maybe brought in a 15-year-old and said, hey, this is a 19-year-old, they have sex with her, it's on camera, and then he goes, oh, by the way, she was actually 15 years old. Now what are they going to do? They can't tell on him because they're on camera having sex with a child, essentially. So then that's how he worked. That's how he grabbed and pulled everybody into his network. So
now this story, by the way, is not covered anywhere. The Daily Beast ran a piece on it.
Hollywood, I saw it on New York Hollywood, Post.
New York Post did? Okay, good. Because CNN didn't? I don't know if Fox did. Maybe they did, too.
It was on Drudge, but it was like not it wasn't in the center even. Like, I thought this was going to be, like, top news, like, headlines. Mm-hmm. And you kind of had to, like, dig for it in Drudge. You know how it's, how yeah. that, the, what do you call it, the outlook is.
So, I mean, and their name and names are not only, you know, Epstein, you got Dershowitz now, too. And then she said Clinton as well. They had Bill Clinton. I don't know what that means exactly.
Pictures.
Video.
Who
perhaps,
knows?
Perhaps. So, I mean, yeah, what does it mean? I want to know what this means. This is, to me, really big news that the mainstream press just did not pick up on. And cheers to the Daily Beast for writing something on it, and like the New York Post, you said, too. But this wasn't out there for people. Like, people aren't, you know, news hounds are digging for this stuff. You and I and other people, you know, who are responsible for finding news are looking for this stuff, but not ordinary people. No. And I think this is a big deal. And it's just getting buried. Nobody seems to care.
Here's a little more.
It seems few were worried about protecting the women who may have been Jeffrey Epstein's victims. Remember, Epstein was still a free man 3 years ago. And just to be clear, the interview has still not aired. What is ABC News waiting for, or who are they still protecting?
She told me everything. She had pictures.
This is the, what was her name, Virginia Roberts? This is the, that's the victim they're talking about that came forward.
Mm.
Just so everyone knows.
She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything.
All right, we kind of already heard this.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Because he made his whole living blackmailing people.
Wait, let me go back a little bit. Where they ask her.
Everything.
If she thinks that he killed
Robach
himself.
Robach also has no doubt about what happened to Epstein when he finally was arrested and jailed.
So do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. Because he made his whole living blackmailing people. Yeah. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment.
I mean, when I heard he was found dead, Mrs. Giselle, someone was
lying. I knew immediately. And they made it seem as though he made that suicide attempt 2 weeks earlier, but his lawyers claimed that he was roughed up by his cellmate around the neck. That was all, like, to plant the seed. And then, that's why I really believe it. Like, really believe it.
It's crazy.
Now, and I know ABC released a statement saying that it didn't meet the credible accusation or whatever. That's why they quashed the story. That's what they're saying. They don't know who squashed the story on this, who put the kibosh on it. But for example, Julie Swetnick, remember her? She was during the Kavanaugh hearings. Mm. She was the one who said she got like gang raped at this thing.
Was she one of the accusers? And then
she was one of like the three. Like it wasn't Dr. Ford. She
right.
was like one of the other
two others or three others that came forward.
She just had this crazy story about
and then
being
it was discredited later.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah. But ABC News picked that story up right away and ran with that mm-hmm. one. And this is what I always talk about, you know, the corporate press having not only a bias, but they seem to have an agenda that they're trying to push down everybody's
Dude,
throats.
I heard something about, and I think, and I could be misreporting this, but they were kind of looking into it, and I think that they said that the ABC president or CEO at the time, like, possibly may have pulled the story, and maybe he had some ties to Epstein. I'm not quite sure. So, I mean, these roots run so deep. And, like, if this were ever to be exposed, Jesus Christ, like, I can't even imagine, like, possibly the Clintons, royalty knew about this, Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump knew that there was some dirty stuff going on. And then, like Tim Dillon said, once it started messing with his money and the business and people were filing complaints, he was like, you got to get out of here, bro. This is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is like she was saying, this is how he might have made his money, was he just blackmailed these powerful people. I said it weeks ago that I think he made his money as providing these children to these rich elites. I think that because they don't know. They don't know how Jeffrey Epstein made his fortune. They thought it was a Ponzi scheme.
financier. Like,
he was worth billions of dollars, right. And I really think he was just the organizer.
Like ransom?
And he kind of
like
just
information
not a,
ransom.
No, not a ransom. He was being paid to get these kids to these rich elites so they could have their way. I think that was a lot of, like, he had this mansion that was supposedly just like sold to him in quotes for like a dollar, and now he just had this, you know, nice penthouse in New York. So, I mean, this goes really, really deep. And everybody knows when he committed suicide. It's like a meme now. It's a big joke. Obviously, he didn't commit suicide. This is just more and more clear. But what are we going to do about it? ABC, at the very least, decided to pull a story about a royal who was credibly accused, I hate that term, but accused of doing these terrible things, being a buddy with Epstein, and apparently this woman, the lady
Virginia
that was talking...
Roberts.
Yeah, the lady that was talking... What was her name? The lady that was talking in the video.
Her name's Amy... Robot.
Her.
Robot.
So she had this information on Prince Andrew, but they wanted the story on William and Kate.
Right, and they
wanted access
to
that. So they squashed a story that was a huge story where children are being victimized and
hundreds,
abused,
possibly thousands.
Raped. Who knows how many? They also talked about Ghislaine Maxwell, his friend. Now, she is supposedly the
recruiter
for this whole thing. Yeah. She's, I don't know where she is.
They think she's in Brazil.
Didn't they have a story that she went to Bezos' house or something recently?
Yeah, she was seen, I think this was a few months ago, she was seen at some sort of conference with like Bezos' like writers or something like that. Like, it was just a bunch of people, a bunch of powerful people, and she was definitely present wherever they were. And they think that she's currently, I think, somewhere in South America. I want to say Brazil, but they're not quite sure. But this story, man, is just, it's crazy. And to me, this is the first time, at least in living memory for me. And again, this is, I haven't always really been, had my, like, you know, my, oh, what am I trying to say? Like, my pulse on the heartbeat of everything that's going on all the time. So this is pretty recent for me within the last, like, 6 to 7 years where I've really been paying attention. But for the most part, conspiracy theories have always been on the outliers of, you know, common belief. People always poo-poo it. You talk about 9/11 being an inside job has actually, in the last few years, people seem to consider it a bit more than like 10 years ago or something like that, where it have just been like, you're insane.
Yeah.
Same with Sandy Hook, although that's not so much. People don't like that. A few other like false flag, terrorist sort of things. But this is the first time where the conspiracy theory, I would say, is the mainstream theory. I've never seen anything like this where it's just said like openly and people laugh and joke. Even that guy, the Navy SEAL who was talking to Jesse Waters the other day on Fox News and was like, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And they just laugh at it. It's a big joke.
It's become a meme. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, memes are the new folk songs.
Right.
Like, they really resonate with people. Yeah, they're funny, but it's one of those things that's like, it's funny because it's true,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we all laugh at it. Because what are we going to do? I mean, we don't have any power. The common people don't have any sort of power over these things. So if you don't laugh, you're going to cry at this stuff. Because this seems like a vast, like, conspiracy with so many moving parts where the elites are just like...
It is.
I'm fearful about, like, I hate evil, like, that. I don't think evil really exists. But there are a lot of people in powerful positions who are doing really, really bad things. And there's politicians running interference for this stuff. There's mm-hmm. people with an agenda.
Sure.
There's the press is a big, big target on my list, and especially the corporate press. They actively push this stuff. And I think it's always been like this. I think the corporate press has always had an agenda that they're trying. Everybody has their biases.
Every media
right?
has an agenda.
So if you hire people, if you have somebody at the top at one of these institutions, you can hire whoever you want. So you can hire people
sure.
who are in the same bubble you are, and then you run interference. Walter Duranty in the 30s went to Russia for the New York Times, won a Pulitzer Prize on his reporting in Russia, and he reported that there is no famine, there is no death, everything's great. In Russia, he came back, printed that in the New York Times, won a Pulitzer Prize for it.
Mm-hmm.
That was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think these things have ever been good, noble institutions. These aren't reporters. These are journalists, mm-hmm. which kind of implies that there's some sort of narrative that they're pushing. They're not telling you what's happening. They're journaling. They're giving their own spin on these things.
Right, right.
And now that the internet's around and there's other organizations, like there's this Veritas organization, there's just other people, independent media that's reporting on this stuff. Now we're finding out that these people are all liars and they're lying to you to push their agenda.
Absolutely. I was going to say something, but I forgot it twice.
That's because I was babbling.
That's
about
okay.
This.
I had something to do with the elites and just never. Oh, this is what I was going to say. These are the sort of things, like, you know, there's a lot of corruption when it comes to, like, Saudi Arabia, right? You know, there's a lot of corruption when it comes to Syria, when it comes to, you know, places in sub-Saharan Africa, things like that. Those are the things that you expect. But when you have, like in the Western world, when they pride themselves on democracy and the justice system, right? You have to be brought to justice. You've murdered someone and then everyone goes to trial and you're put, you know, on a block in front of your peers and they judge if you are innocent or if you're found guilty and then they have a sentencing. And it seems like it's such a, and I'm putting this in quotes, fair society, like to the best of its ability, fair. Obviously, there's going to be some guilty people who are found innocent and vice versa. But for the most part, we pride ourselves on being in a just society. But that just applies to, like, you know, the 99.99% of people that exist. And there is that top elite where there is no justice. You can do whatever you want. It's like the blank check of justice. You could kill somebody and it's never going to get reported. But here's the thing, that what they did with Epstein, it was so sloppy. That's what it was. It was so sloppy. And because we do have the internet and because we have Twitter and all the social media and stuff, these high profile cases are everywhere. Everybody is paying attention and they're reporting on it every day. And then all of a sudden there's a suicide attempt and all of a sudden he's dead. And it was what everybody expected. This didn't surprise anybody. And because it was such a sloppy job with, you know, the guards falling asleep and the cameras not working and the way that he was found and his cellmate was taken out when he was not supposed to, it becomes just so obvious what's going on. And you're right, Will. There's nothing that we can do about it, because if you do try to make a stand, you're going to get stamped on. You're going to get demolished because these people are not coming down. They will literally take out everybody that they need to make sure that they do not unravel. Could you even imagine for a second if they found Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton in on this sort of thing and in this child sex ring? And then you just think about the roots, everybody that's attached to them, probably the Obamas, the Bushes. I don't even know how deep this goes into other countries. Like, you're talking about the royals. Did William know? Did Kate know? Who knows? Who freaking knows? You know?
Well, I mean, you say when you talk about the Obama. I don't know about the Obamas. Like, there's a Clinton kill list that's on the internet where a lot of people have died mysteriously while in their company or, you know, in close proximity to them. You don't really have that with Obama.
Listen,
you don't have that with Trump.
I'm not saying that they're killers or they're involved in, like, a hit list or any
I'm
sort of thing.
I'm saying that.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I am. I think they might be.
Oh, okay. I said I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that they may have had knowledge of this. Much like Hollywood knew about Harvey Weinstein and how disgusting he was, and it was kind of like this joke in the community. I feel like this is kind of like the same sort of thing where everybody kind of knows what's going on. And now it's starting to come to light, but it's getting quashed before it can be fully revealed. And this is why, because these roots run so goddamn deep. It's just insane, dude.
And the media is desperately trying to hold on to the power that they have. They've been able to control the narrative and control the truth, in quotes, for a very long time. Now, that's kind of changed with social media, independent journalists that are able to function on social media and get their story out there.
Right.
They're being, you know, the corporate press is being exposed for the liars that they are. The intentional deceit that they pushed for a long time. So they're desperately trying to. So that's why a lot of these people get called conspiracy theorists. This is not credible. Who says? They do. So it must not be credible. We got to kick these people off social media. There's a a big effort to get anybody who's... Now, if you notice, people who get kicked off social media, they get called, you know, bigots, racists, you know, whatever. But Richard Spencer, the leader of the alt-right, is still on Twitter, as far as I know. David Duke is still on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They're always just independent thinkers that they get rid of, that are influential, that have a lot of followers, that people find them through YouTube or whatever. And then they panic. They go, uh-oh, because they know that this is the only way that they can keep power, is they have to get rid of these people who are exposing them. And they label them as extremists, mm-hmm. when it's just not the case.
Right.
It's just a
lie. Those are possibly more potent to the system, because maybe they are starting to make some sense. Maybe they are starting to resonate with people who are trying to think for themselves. Like, when you're so extreme like David Duke and Richard Spencer, those people have relatively very few followers. Yeah, I mean, of course they do here and there, and some people are like, yeah, they have some good ideas. But for the most part, the masses do not agree or espouse anything that they talk about. Right. But when you're talking about people who have independent ideas, like you said, that are like the Edward Snowdens of Twitter or whatnot, those are the people that are really powerful and can cause a lot of damage to their systems, because they're exposing things that
they're doing. They're exposing the press for what they are. So they are desperately trying to hold on to the power that they have. And, you know, they're losing, but they are going with everything they have. I see these people, like what they do. It's terrible.
Question for you really quick. Because we do have to go to break. But if you were to... If you could unveil this whole Epstein thing, right? And it's one of those things that if you did, it's kind of like you took the blue pill or the red pill or whatever. You can't turn back now. And you see everything. It illuminates everything. And then you find out that it's, you know, former presidents and people who were in nonprofits and people who you looked up to, thought were great. Like, say it's even who's like a figure that everybody looks up to, that thinks is like so great. It's Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is involved. Like, it ruins everything for you. And like we mentioned previously, you can't do anything about it. Would you want to know?
Everybody does know.
No. No, I'm talking about, like, if it was fully exposed. Like, you could see there was a list of everybody who had sex with these girls, who had ordered these girls, who went to the island. If you could see how deep these roots went, would you want to know, knowing you could do nothing about it?
I mean, yeah, I would still want to know. I think we can do something about it. I don't really know how, but there's ways of organizing. There's, you know... A lot of revolts and protests were formed on Twitter. There was the Arab Spring. They squashed that now. I mean, like, you can't really do that now. They shut down Twitter and most of those places in order to stop the civil unrest. But that was a big, big deal for a little while. So there is ways that we could stop. I don't know what we would do exactly. But, I mean...
That's why we have the Second Amendment, right?
Yeah. I mean,
take
yeah.
to the streets.
Arm yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want to sound like a kook, but like, what if we find out like Pizzagate was real? You know, I'm saying that in half jest, but at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised anymore at this rate with all the stuff that's been exposed lately. And they did such a, when that whole Pizzagate thing came out, they did, the media went on a spree.
Can you do a little bit of a refresher? It was something with Hillary Clinton, dude, underground ring of what?
Like, it was like John Podesta being involved in some weird sex cult.
I don't know who that
pizza
is.
Pizza restaurant. Podesta was the DNC head for a while.
Okay.
I don't want to spread this stuff because I don't know if it's true. It's probably not true. But I did look into it briefly, and I was just kind of like, this is too weird for me. I don't have the time.
Well,
it's so complicated. It was basically a child sex ring that was being headed in D.C., where all these elites would go and, you know, do stuff
Sick
to kids.
Stuff.
And
Sick
stuff.
Stuff.
So I wouldn't be surprised at this rate. Now, it's been discredited, but there's been a lot of things that have been discredited. I don't know. You got to do your own research and make your own decisions. And just a few days later, there's more to the story. It gets even juicier. James O'Keefe and Project Veritas definitely has a bias. They're conservatives, and they have their own bias, certainly. So they did the thing with Google where they were trying to show that they're biased against right-leaning individuals. That's true. There was a group that was anti-abortion that they censored. But also, there's a leftist anti-war group that was also censored. They decided not to show that part of the story because I think they were... So they're censoring a lot of people. They're censoring people on the left who don't fit the agenda that they're trying to push. And they also obviously censor people on the right. We talked about this earlier in the week, but I do want to play this because I think this is a big deal and I don't see anybody talking about this. This is, what's her name? Well, it doesn't matter. Some ABC anchor.
Megyn Kelly?
No, it wasn't Megyn Kelly. This is Amy Robach, I think is her name. She was a Good Morning America correspondent. And this is her telling about her story that was squashed 3 years ago.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air.
Virginia Roberts was an alleged victim of Jeffrey Epstein when she was a minor. And they somehow found her and coaxed her out of hiding to give an interview. And, well, that's who she is.
First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways.
So they also had Prince Andrew, and he's part of the British royal family. Friends with Jeffrey Epstein's been on the planes where these crimes had allegedly taken place. And they didn't want to run the story because they wanted an interview with Will and Kate, the prince and princess of England, I guess. So they didn't want to get involved with that. So basically, the British crown and American media conspired to not expose the biggest pedophilia ring probably in American history. That's the story so far.
We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that we that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on. To no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago.
That's huge. Now, she released a statement after this, which was, somebody pointed this out, this guy Michael Malice on Twitter. He's just a pundit, talking head dude, anarchist guy. But the statement that was put out, he noticed that it was two periods after a sentence, which was the old way of doing things on a typewriter.
Right.
You used to have to do two periods. Now computers automatically do that. So you don't need the extra space after the period. And she, this lady, she's pretty young anyway. She's probably in her 40s. She doesn't do that in her tweets. She automatically does the first spacing. He noticed that there's two spaces after this. So his theory is that she did not write this statement, that she was kind of forced to put it out. In order probably to keep her job. Yasir Ali is a Huffington Post journalist, pretty well respected on both sides of the aisle. ABC News execs identified the former employee who accessed the hot mic footage, and this person now works at CBS. Or did until, I believe, today or yesterday when she was fired from CBS. So this reeks of some sort of conspiracy between the media and to protect a pedophile, it seems like.
Yeah.
Now, these CBS and ABC are competing entities. They should be happy when one is not succeeding because they can go, ABC covered up a story. This is going to tarnish their credibility. Instead, they went, oh, she exposed this thing. She's fired. She did a interview with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly was a Fox News correspondent, went over to NBC, didn't stick at NBC. She still had that Fox stink on her, you know? So the audience didn't like her. They found an excuse to get rid of her. But why nobody interviewed this?
Hi, everyone.
This is the interview here, but nobody decided to pick up on this interview with her name is Ashley Bianco, who was allegedly the person who was the leaker of this tape. Mainstream media did not try to find her. Why would you not want to speak with her?
There is so much about this that just reeks of, like you said, conspiracy and walls everywhere. You know, you kind of look at the way it was handled, the way everyone's tiptoeing around it and doesn't want to address it. They want to kind of cover it up. I feel like if all of this was put out there, especially 3 years ago, if that was the case, dude, that's going to change the landscape of Hollywood as a whole. I truly believe that there is so many key figures involved in what was going on with Epstein and, you know, the plane flights and all of those things. The names on that list, it would be ridiculous if those happen to get out, and it would change, at least how I believe it would change a lot of just how things are structured over there, because I think it's a lot bigger than anyone
imagine. I think it is too. I think they're all in cahoots. I think a lot of these media people who are running these corporations, these news corporations, are also in it. I think these billionaires, these people, like, there's such a lifestyle that billionaires lead that millionaires are not familiar with even. So you got these execs that are making millions of dollars as heads of these, you know, media corporations, that I think they just give them a taste sometimes of what the real good life is like.
Right.
Like, it's weird to say, like, a millionaire is not living to their full potential, but I have a theory that billionaires are just way, they have access to things that are not even conceivable. They have, and
PTA
I think
type stuff.
My theory is this is how Jeffrey Epstein made his money. They don't know how Jeffrey Epstein made his money. They thought, well, maybe a Ponzi scheme, he was in finance. I think he was just getting children for the elites to molest. And that's how he was paid, was with he bought some townhouse that's worth like $40 million or something in New York City. It was signed over to him for a dollar. I mean, there was just a bunch of weird, weird stuff that went on. And I think, like I said, like, his job, he was a blackmailer. He blackmailed people and got them to, like, so you go to a party, right? And he goes, hey, this chick thinks you're pretty cute. You know, she wants to get down on your 70-year-old ass.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, that sounds cool. And then you do it. And then he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, she's 16. Also, I have a tape of you doing it. And then you go, oh, crap, I'm in this now. I'm in this. So you have to kind of look the other way. But the media, I mean, they just totally dropped the story. You see Brian Stetler, he's CNN's media reporter, I think he's called. He's got a show called Reliable Sources where he reports on what the media is doing. And there has been no coverage of this all week. Now, they don't trust it because it's Project Veritas that put it out. Mm-hmm. James O'Keefe had never done himself any favors because he settled some lawsuits where he was sued for bad practices and settled some of these cases. But the thing about it is sometimes it is, like, I don't really know what he did. Maybe he did do wrong. I don't know. But sometimes you settle lawsuits because it's cheaper to settle the lawsuit than going through the court system and, you know, trying to prove your case. You got to pay these lawyers. So sometimes it is just cheaper to settle the cases. But if you're running a media organization and it shows you settled, that means you're saying that you did something wrong.
Right.
So I don't know. Let's take this call. Hey, you're on Stay Woke. Hello. Hello today. You're definitely on.
Good conversation.
All right. Good talking to you. Goodbye. Oh, no. Oh, hey.
Hello?
Hey, sorry, dude. That's my fault. I pushed the wrong button.
Hey, I just want to say congratulations to Anna and Ryan.
Yes.
Even misfits can find love.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact. All
Happy
right.
Friday.
See ya. Goodbye.
Happy Friday.
I think that was Greggy.
They're probably living it up at the castle right now.
Oh, hell yeah. They're getting it on right now. Boy, are you kidding me? So Megyn Kelly, anyways, started to interview. She talked to this woman that was fired. Ashley Bianco was her name. And I want to play a little bit of that interview because the rest of the mainstream media didn't pick up on this.
Control room when Amy made those comments?
I wasn't in the control room, but I was watching the comments while I was at my desk. And I had seen what she was saying, and I went to my manager and I said, you know, do you see what she's saying? Does she know that she's on a hot mic? The assistant said to us that that Amy knew she was on a mic and that she knew she was being broadcasted to all the affiliates.
Right, so this is a moment where she's off the air, she's doing taped promos, mm-hmm. but she has a mic on and people can see and hear her.
Yeah.
So what made you, what did you do? You clipped the moment, you sort of marked the moment in the system?
Yeah, I just clipped it off. I essentially marked it in the system. It never left the system. We do it all the time.
Did you tell the manager that you had clipped it?
I did not.
Did you think it was newsworthy, what she was saying?
Everyone in the office was freaked out by what she was saying and everyone was watching it.
So the purpose for clipping it was what, to watch it back later?
Yeah, watch it back later. You know, I did it just for office gossip, you know?
Mm-hmm. Was there any intention to embarrass her?
No, not at all.
Or ABC?
No, I would never. You know, the 3 years I've spent at ABC, I've loved my time there. You know, I'm a good employee. I've worked 7 days a week, you know? I loved my job.
Was this the first time you had ever clipped a segment of an anchor off mic?
No, I mean, we do it all the time. You know, I'm part of my job is I'm like a video editor. You know, I clip off moments all the time. I put together, you know, funny anchor reels of, you know, them off camera doing funny stuff to use later in the show.
Did you go back and watch it later?
I didn't, no. I didn't think about it after that day.
So was that the last you had to do with that clip?
Yeah, I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything else with that.
You never went back to it?
I never went back to it.
You didn't download it, you didn't email it, you didn't transfer that file in any way?
No, not at all. I didn't touch it after that. It stayed in the system. I hadn't even heard of Project Veritas until this.
When was this moment with Amy?
It was in August, August 19th.
And then in the fall, you decided to leave ABC mm-hmm. to go where?
To CBS. And I only left purely because CBS had offered me a good contract. And so I left and I was just really excited to start a new job. And
so this week, you're sitting at CBS doing your job.
Yeah.
And what happens with Project Veritas?
They released the video, you know, and I was shocked, but I didn't think anything of it.
How many days had you been at CBS?
Only 4 days, you know. And I begged, I pleaded, I didn't know what I had done wrong. And I just, you know, I wasn't even given the professional courtesy to defend myself. You know, I didn't know what I'd been accused of. It was, you know, humiliating. It was devastating.
So she denies this. She says she didn't do it.
Call me naive, but I don't believe this girl one bit.
You think she did it? Now, James O'Keefe came out and said that she is not the leaker. He could be lying. Of course, it's definitely possible.
Now, she said at the beginning, I did it for the office drama. It, you know, that's what I heard. So,
but to entertain, I see what you're saying, but to entertain her coworkers.
But
I
you
guess.
Brought up the competitive nature between ABC and CBS. So what are the chances that she goes over to CBS and makes friends with somebody in the first week and one day just goes, hey, check this out. Like, check out what I got.
It is possible. But, I mean, we're talking about – now, the media spent all week talking about how this whistleblower on Ukraine should not be named. Like, we have to treasure these whistleblowers as being the beholders of democracy, right? But so at the same time, though, this woman is exposing that the media knew about Jeffrey Epstein 3 years ago, and they quashed the story.
Right.
So they're hypocrites. And I don't think it. Some people believe that the press was at some point decent and told the truth and were reporters. They gave you the information and let you make up your own mind. I don't think that was ever the case. I think the internet has just allowed it to be exposed now that it's not the case. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. Carlos Slim owns the New York Times.
These are just propaganda wings for the elites. And if you listen to anything that these people have to say at this point and believe it, then you're a useful idiot. Okay, there we go. We are way over, so thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Follow me on social, home_made_man. Have a great week. Good luck out there, everybody. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See ya. We'll be right back.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.